Back up, please.
Welcome to the 15th episode of IndieCast. I have my co-host Aditya Mhatre with me. He's in India.
Hello.
And we have a guest after a long, long time, Shalin Modi. Shalin, introduce yourself, please.
Yes, my name is Shalin Modi, and I work for a contractor for the space station, space shuttle programs at the NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas.
So what is it that you exactly do, and what's the humming behind?
Are you guys getting humming?
Yeah, it's fun, though. I mean,
not the humming, the laughter, I mean.
The laughter.
Oh, just some family members.
Are they laughing at your career?
No.
Are they laughing at what
you do? No, not yet.
Not yet, okay.
No, I've been doing all right.
Great.
So what contractor do you work for?
Right. The contractor I work for, it's a co-owned by a couple big aerospace companies, Boeing and Lockheed. The company itself is called United Space Alliance. They are, I think they actually have the majority of positions that you see in the big control room for the space shuttle, space station operations. You know, on like if you see or see NASA TV. I'm not expecting you guys to get it in India, but if there's a NASA TV channel in the U.S. that's available, and when there's a space shuttle or a space station mission that's going on, the NASA TV channel will often have a shot of what's going on in the control room. And most of those positions are filled by members of my company.
So
it's basically where Ed Harris in the movie Apollo 13 was, and he was
right.
He was
it's the same idea.
Oh,
same
that's idea. Nice.
Ah, okay.
So then you must. How many hours do you work? As in, 24 hours would be too few for you in a day's time to get things
right. No, I mean, it comes and goes. Some weeks are a little slower, but once it starts getting to closer to a flight, a space shuttle flight, then the hours really start to pick up. I think I spent 4 all-nighters last year in preparation for the most recent space shuttle flight, STS 114.
Oh, so it's like years of hard work in that one launch.
It's typically, I believe it's upwards of 2 years previous to a shuttle flight, 2 years of planning and work and training all together. It takes about 2 years, and then you don't have a lot of time up there, so you got to make sure you get it right.
Is it that as exciting as they show it on in the Hollywood movies? Like it's like 10 seconds to go, and the entire average blood pressure of the room would be 160.
It is. It is absolutely electric. It is really very exciting to be involved in that, especially during the flight, on launch, during the flight, during some operations, and on return.
Can you describe us as in what actually happens in the control room if it's not very confidential, as in?
Like which moment were you talking about? Like let's say there.
You said 10 seconds to go, and what is it that you wait for?
Well, it depends on if you're on the console position. If you're on the console position, then you're probably just completely staring and processing every single bit of information about your systems.
Uh-huh.
And there are a variety of systems. You know, for launch, you'd have the ascent folks that understand, and the propulsion folks that understand the propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And also the folks that are also maintaining the guidance and navigation of the space shuttle. So I think those folks especially are really on the gun, really trying to make sure that their systems are good, and that the flight's going to be safe, and mm-hmm. they're communicating the information back and forth to whoever needs to know, especially the flight director, like Ed Harris played in Apollo 13, Gene Kranz. Gene Kranz and also Christopher Kraft are probably the big granddaddies of space flight operations.
Right.
Yeah, they're very, very highly regarded, along with, mm-hmm. I think, a lot of the flight directors, all the flight directors are really very, very impressive people.
Mm.
So what's happening with the recent, the space mission being cancelled? You guys were going to go on an mm-hmm. asteroid, and that it got cancelled. What is that about?
Yeah, I think, I'm not in control of the budget, right? So, but as far as I know,
I hope not.
I think me too. Yeah, I think it was probably a budget issue. There's a lot of money and energy that are spent being spent right now creating and planning for the next space vehicle for NASA, which is the Crew Exploration Vehicle, or CEV. Of course, we have zillions and zillions of acronyms, so this is another one, CEV. So I think some of the monies may have gotten reallocated, there's all these budgetary issues and science priorities that are discussed. I'm sure there's going to be lots of debate as to why this ultimately happened, but it has happened. I don't know. All you can do is just work the best with what you got. Sometimes things don't go in your favor.
Well, I've read this somewhere in the news, in one of the blogs. It says a few scientists are upset about the president's vision for launching humanity off this planet and onto its lunar neighbor, that is on the moon. How true is that, and where are we in that regard? And do we see men going on Mars and the moon and probably a human permanently or something?
I think there's many people that want to see people on the moon and Mars permanently. In fact, there's an entire professional society, I think, that's dedicated to promote that,
uh-huh.
called the National Space Society. There's a lot of these professional societies out there. This is one of them, the National Space Society. I think there's also the American Astronautical Society, which does similar, kind of tertiary related work, but as far as the scientists go, I don't know. There's mm-hmm. going to be very learned people that have opinions on both sides.
Right,
I'm
right.
not sure. I don't know. It'd be wrong for me to put words in their mouth.
Right. All right. So, do you have weekends, or what? Do you work all the time?
Oh yeah, 24 hours a day, every day.
Every day.
Yeah, right. No. No, it's not that crazy. But yeah, weekends are off. There are some cases where, you have the deadlines, and of course you need to work them at any hours. You have to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And especially during a flight, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. It's like at some points, you forget which day of the week it is, and you only care about what flight day number it is.
Uh-huh.
Are you in the first or second or third day of the flight? That's pretty much the only thing that matters. And you go through the weekends, and you work through the weekends at that time. A lot of the flight controllers do. And if I'm on the analysis side, kind of supporting the flight controllers. If they need something done, then we're called in to support them. But I think you had a question regarding space tourism.
Yes,
is that right?
Space tourism. Yep.
So that's been going on for some years now. There's a company called Space Adventures.
Space One, right?
Spaceship One is the X Prize, the Ansari X Prize winning vehicle. It basically won the Ansari X Prize. That was built by, built and designed, the lead for that design was Bert Rutan of Scale Composites in Mojave, California.
Right.
And, they're probably the first ones to design and build their own private spaceship, as far as I know. And you know, they're taking that design and that know-how, along with I guess Virgin Galactic's you know, Richard Branson's money, and set up the Virgin Galactic, which will be a space tourism company. Short, I think, I don't know how long, maybe 5-10 minute zero gravity suborbital flights. They'll kind of go up, kind of get over the hump of getting into space for a few minutes and then come back down.
Have you been in zero gravity at all, or?
No, I haven't. There are some tests that you can do if you, you know, you go up in an aircraft and you go,
free fall, right? And then they have a
right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, technically we call these parabolas. You go high at a high steep angle and then you dive at a steep angle and
right.
You have about 30 seconds of free flight. And now this is being privately done by a company called Zero G.
Right.
And,
I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be a really cool experience. I was thinking about getting a flight myself.
How much does it cost? Any idea?
I think the cost is about $5,000 to $8,000. That's through the Zero G company.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there's information on their website.
So $5,000 for a 30-second dive, man.
No, 5,000 for like a 90-minute flight,
okay.
Of which I'm not sure how much of that is spent in zero-G, but several minutes, more than several minutes in zero-G.
That's cool, man. Do you have any aspirations of becoming an astronaut, or you want to be a technical guy, or...
You know, I mean, well, a lot of astronauts are really technical.
Yeah.
Some of the astronauts are, I mean, a lot of the astronauts are... I would, in my opinion, some of the most impressive people that want to go into space that you can find. But for me personally, I never honestly had a strong desire to go into space. Although, I mean, I'm also into photography, and I don't mind some adventure. And I know it's a hell of a view up there, so I wouldn't mind going up.
Come on, man! Right. You gotta go. You have to get up there. So that I can sell
right.
this interview on eBay for about $4,000.
Right. Right. You know what? Actually, there has been, I think technically it's been considered a podcast from space. In the last flight, STS-114, they one of the fellows, astronaut Steve Robinson, had done a short commentary, kind of a podcast, and sent it from space to the ground, and it was available the last few days of the flight. I think it may still be available on the NASA webpage.
Okay.
So the first one's already done. Sorry.
So what's the next? You know what is getting people excited at NASA now?
Apart from President Bush.
I don't think anyone's excited about him.
Right.
Well, you know, you're just like the scientists, you're going to get differing opinions. I mean, it's, a lot of people are really happy that we have a vision of you know, whatever people describe it as, a vision for space exploration. That's what the term has been called.
Uh-huh.
And of course, we have an acronym for that, so it's VSE. And a lot of people are excited about that. I think a lot of people are just excited about the new things that are coming up. Because, you know, we've been flying the shuttle for more than a couple decades now. And, I think people have been pretty impressed with that system. At the same time, a lot of people, engineers and scientists and others, would like to see major advancements as far as technology used in space exploration, as well as just more space exploration, more planetary science, you know, going to the moon, going to Mars, and finding out more about them. You know, it takes, an exploration, kind of a mindset, just as some of the explorers on Earth, you know, some hundreds of years ago, or thousands of years ago, had, they set sail for unfamiliar waters and just went out to see what they found, and a lot of times they brought back some really valuable things and established trade routes, and you know, it kept on growing from there. It's hard. It's doable. There's many that do it well.
Well, yeah, right. And now that Bush was in India, I mean, he's back in the U.S. now. What are your opinions, if you have, and if you can share with us about this NPT? Because you had replied to our previous episode.
I think on National Public Radio, there was some interview done, which I thought was pretty insightful for me, having not really studied much and didn't really know much about NPT. Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting, I thought. I mean, as far as the space industry goes, actually the NPT, if I remember correctly, the NPT was one of the things that's kind of standing in the way of the U.S. and India exchanging some technical information and scientific engineering information for, you know, the aerospace industry, trading, expertise in the aerospace fields. I think, you know, Airbus and Boeing are already planning on having training centers in India. I think one of the first podcast episodes, you guys were talking about the airline industry.
Right.
You know, I mean, overall, the aerospace industry, I think, is probably going to benefit from this because the lines of communication will be opened and the expertise will be exchanged. So I think it may in fact be a catalyst, you know. As far as, you know, the reasons behind the NPT, I mean, who knows? Like, I don't know. I mean,
right.
You know, I wasn't there, you know, talking. You know, I think I read as soon as Bush got off the plane, then the negotiations had started with some of his people.
All right.
And, you know, who knows what was discussed in the 10, 12 hours.
That is good. That is good talking to you about whatever NASA is doing and all. And keep the comments coming, guys. We want to know what you like, what you don't. And hey, how did you hear about us?
You know, I think recently I've become a podcast junkie, and I've been starting to look around for interesting podcasts. And I think I saw your podcast on the New and Notable listing on the iTunes iTunes podcast directory.
Right, that was the first week we did it, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, this is interesting. And so I started listening, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. And this 20-something, 30-something kind of group would be interested in this, and those who are really trying to pay attention to what's going on in India, what kind of things are changing, and how do people feel about it, really. That's
what
I found out.
I'm
glad I did.
That's good, man.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. And
thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Same to you, Shalim. Yep, that was good. Get down.